Living Fiction. Northwestern University, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, brings you a radio dramatization of another timeless story, The Suicide Club by Robert Louis Stevenson, another in a series of Living Fiction.
I have played cards many times, but never like the game of the past two nights. The game was simple, no skill required, but the stakes were high, so high that the awesomeness of the game overcast the delicacy of wine, the rapture of love, the elation of fulfilled ambition. The stakes of the game were death. Colonel Geraldine, my aide, and I were often compelled to leave the monotony of court to search for adventure. As Prince of faraway Bohemia, I had few duties in England, and whenever the pomposity and complacency of court life became unbearable, the Colonel and I would disguise our nobility and search for people who really lived. Two nights ago, we were on such a venture in an obscure pub. We were ready to leave when a young man strolled in with two platters of cream tart.
Come, sir, have a tart. You know, like all good things, they are free. Come, have one.
I do not take tarts from beggars or strangers. Have your tarts elsewhere.
Well, I'm neither stranger nor beggar. But since you refuse my tart, I shall have to eat it myself. Scoff if you will. But my tarts are free.
Sir, here is an adventure. Let us partake of his blasted tarts and know him better.
He's an interesting character, giving away tarts. He's either a fool or else he has no use for our material pleasures. We shall find out. Tartman, we shall take one of your tarts.
A tart, sir?
I am in a habit of looking not so much to the nature of a gift as to the spirit in which it is offered.
For the spirit is one of mockery, sir.
Mockery? And whom do you propose to mock?
Well, I'm not here to expound my philosophy, but to distribute these cream tarts. If you accept one, I shall regain faith. If not, you will constrain me to eat my 28th. And food, I'm afraid, neither fills the stomach nor enriches the mind.
And not a remark to come from a man whose stomach is indubitably filled with cream tarts.
Oh, come, Geraldine. You will, I am sure, my dear tart man, pardon my curiosity. What I have seen of you has greatly pleased, but even more puzzled me. And while I should not like to be indiscreet,
indiscretion is a special vice of mine, sir.
Well, even so, I must tell you that my friend and I are persons very well worthy to be entrusted with a secret. We're sure to reveal it. We have many secrets of our own which we are constantly revealing to improper ears.
Oh, but my secret is most trivial, even silly.
Excellent. If your story is a silly one, you need have no delicacy with us, who are two of the silliest men in England. We pass our lives entirely in search for extravagant adventures, and there is no extravagance with which we are not capable of sympathy.
I like you, sir. You inspire me with a natural confidence. There is every reason why I should not tell you my story. Perhaps that's just the reason why I'm going to do so. At least you seem so well prepared to hear a tale of silliness that I cannot disappoint you. My name, I shall keep to myself. My ancestors were kind, for from them I inherited property, wealth, and a harebrained humor. I received a good education. I can play the violin nearly well enough to earn money in an orchestra, but not quite. The same remark applies to the flute and the French horn.
I must say you seem too talented to pass your time on cream tarts.
My acquaintance with French was sufficient to enable me to squander money in Paris with almost the same facility as in London. In short, I'm a person full of manly accomplishments. Grown weary of life, I have spent my last £40 in these cream tarts. After eating most of them myself, I've grown more weary.
And where you might. Man is the most skeptical being.
Now I am determined to bring a foolish career to a still more foolish conclusion.
Let us play along with this fellow. There is more to it than the tarts.
Right. Why, is this not odd that we three fellows should have met by the merest accident in so large a wilderness as London, and should be so nearly in the same condition?
What? Are you also ruined? Has the devil brought three of his own together for a last carouse?
The devil, depend upon it, can sometimes do a very gentlemanly thing.
You're not fooling me. You're indeed ruined men
well,
like
you've
me.
You said so?
Ruined. Ruined, like me. Are you after a life of indulgence? Come to such a pass that you can only indulge yourselves in one thing more? Are you going to avoid the consequence of your folly by the one infallible and easy path? Death?
Yes, we too, like yourself, have had enough of life. Sooner or later, alone or together, we mean to seek out death. And since we've met you and your case is more pressing, let it be tonight and right now.
You are the men for me! Shake hands upon the bargain. You little know in what a happy moment for yourselves you partook of my cream tarts. I am only a unit, but I am a unit in an army. I know death's private door.
Indeed.
I am one of death's familiars. It can show you into eternity without ceremony and yet without scandal. Do you have £80 between you?
Yes, but no more than that.
Fortunate beings. £40 each is the entry money of the Suicide Club.
Suicide Club? What the devil is that?
You shall see. If you are truly tired of life, I shall introduce you tonight to the meeting of the club. I shall give you time to consider my proposal. You know, it's more serious than a cream tart. And I suspect more palatable?
More serious, certainly. Will you allow us a moment?
Oh, most certainly. I shall retire.
Colonel, what is the matter with you? I see you are worried, whereas my mind is very tranquilly made up. I will see how this thing ends.
Let me ask you to consider the importance of your life, not only to your friends, but to the public interest.
I will see the end of this.
Very well, Your Highness. Tartman, we have decided.
There is still time to make good your escape. Reflect well before you take another step.
Lead on, sir. I am not the man to go back from a thing once started.
Wait for me. I must go to the president's room. I shall return as soon as I have arranged the preliminaries of your introductions.
Of all our follies, this is the wildest and most dangerous.
I perfectly believe so.
We still have a moment to ourselves. Let us profit by this opportunity and retire.
Follow me. The president of the club will see you. And let me warn you, to be frank in your answers. I have stood your guarantee, but the club requires a searching inquiry before admission.
What sort of den is this? I can hardly see.
That is what I have come to see. If they keep live devils on the premises, this thing may grow amusing. Our friend the Tartman has left us. And yet I feel sure that someone is here with us.
Good evening. I'm told you wish to speak to me.
Yes. You must be the president. We have a desire, sir, to join the Suicide Club.
What is that? A Suicide Club? Oh, come now.
Call your club what you will. You have some company behind this den, and we insist on joining it.
Sir, you've made a mistake. This is a private house, and you must leave it instantly.
I have come here upon the invitation of a friend of yours. He has doubtless informed you of my intention in thus intruding on your party. Let me remind you that a person in my circumstances is not at all likely to tolerate such rudeness. I'm a very quiet man, as a usual thing. But, my dear sir, you are either going to oblige me in this little matter, of which you are well aware, or you shall very bitterly repent that you ever admitted me to your antechamber.
That's the way to speak. You're a man. Who is a man? Now, what reason have you for seeking entry to the Suicide Club? Why are you tired of life?
As near as I can make out, an adulterated laziness.
You must have a better reason than that.
I have no more money. That is also a vexation, without doubt. It brings my sense of idleness to an acute point.
If I had not a great deal of experience, I should turn you off. But I know the world, and that the most frivolous excuses for suicide are the best. You are admitted to the Suicide Club.
Behold, gentlemen, the anteroom to Hades. Now, after you, if you please. And this, my good sirs, is the Suicide Club. A poetic acquaintance of mine once suggested that I set above the portals to this room Dante's great line, "Abandon ye all hope who have entered here." Well, I thought the sentiment a trifle gaudy. However, I enjoy it. It seemed by each member on his first entry to the club rooms, and I confess I always derive a keen pleasure from it.
It is in charming taste.
Well, I see we're all here tonight. It's gratifying that you'll have the opportunity to meet all of us. Mingle among us now. You should have no trouble making conversation, since we all have at least one thing in common. You'll find that death makes the most amusing topic for small talk.
Do as he says, Colonel. Find out whatever you can. We shall try to meet and pool our knowledge before we go much further in this business.
Good evening. You're a newcomer, I think.
I'm a member of about 5 minutes standing. I should like to know...
Very good, very good. My name is Malthus. I like a humorous man, and you wish information. You've come to the proper source. It's 2 years since I first visited this, charming club.
What? 2 years? I thought... But you see, I've been made the subject of a pleasantry.
By no means. My case is peculiar. I'm not properly speaking a suicide at all, but as it were an honorary member. I rarely visit the club twice in 2 months. My infirmities and the kindness of the president have procured me these little immunities.
I'm afraid I must ask you to be more explicit. You must remember I'm still unacquainted with the rules of the club.
An ordinary member who comes here in search of death, like yourself, returns every evening until fortune favors him. Each night the president shuffles and deals the cards and makes the necessary arrangements.
You speak of shuffling and dealing cards, but for what end? And you, who seems rather unwilling to die, what brings you here?
Why, my dear man, this club is the very temple of intoxication. Look at that man over there. See how his eyes widen and his nostrils quiver. And there, see how those men sit, quietly anticipating our little game. There's no excitement more overpowering than this. I deny that it is love which is the strong passion. Fear is the strong passion. It's fear you must trifle with if you wish to taste the intense joys of living. Envy me, sir. I'm a coward.
How, sir, is the excitement so prolonged? And where is there any element of uncertainty?
I must tell you how the victim for the evening is selected. And not only the victim, but another member as well, who is to be the instrument in the club's hands and death's high priest for the occasion.
They don't kill each other.
The trouble of suicide is removed in that way.
Oh, no. And may you, may I, may the... My friend, I mean. May any one of us be called upon this evening as the murderer of another? Can such a thing be possible among men?
Oh, you're shocked, my dear fellow. You're most positively shocked. How delightful.
A relic of the days when I could afford morals. I'm begging you to forget it. Since you say the game is interesting, I follow the club. After all, why not?
You're now, after your first moment of surprise, in a position to appreciate the delights of our society. The game we play is one of extreme simplicity. The president shuffles and then deals cards to each member of the club until the entire deck of 52 has been exhausted.
But the object? What is the object
Wait,
of the game?
We're ready for the game. See, the president is shuffling the cards. Watch for the ace of spades, which is the sign of death, and the ace of clubs, which designates the official for the night. Happy, happy young men. You have good eyes and can follow the game. Sit beside me. I can't tell an ace from a deuce across the table.
Colonel, here I am beside you.
This is what we have been waiting for.
One bold stroke and we may still escape.
Oh, silence. Let me see that you can play like a gentleman for any stake, however serious. He's beginning to deal the cards. The game had begun. The game that was so simple. The game whose stakes were death. The president slowly began to deal the cards around the table, pausing until each man had shown his card.
I have the three of clubs.
Six of diamonds.
Four of spades.
Eight of spades.
Seven of hearts.
Ten of clubs.
Nearly everyone hesitated. Sometimes a player's fingers stumbled as he turned over the momentous slip of pasteboard. I felt conscious of a growing, almost suffocating excitement. And yet, there was a degree of pleasure in the sensations. I got the 9 of hearts. The colonel turned over the 3 of spades. Mr. Malthus received the queen of spades. And then it happened. Our Tartman friend turned over the ace of clubs.
Oh, this is funny. Very funny. I came here to be killed, not to kill.
Jack of hearts.
2 of spades.
King of diamonds.
The deal was coming around again. And still death's card, the ace of spades, had not come out. I tried to hold my breath and only breathed in gasps. The president was relishing our discomfort. As he passed each card, he tucked his tongue in his cheek as if the delicate taste of death were... The president was a connoisseur of death. I received another heart. The colonel turned up a diamond. We were safe. But then... Mr. Malthus had turned up his card. It was the ace of spades. We went home quickly, hoping to drown our memories in sleep. But sleep is only the postponing of reality. Eventually, I must face the events of our ill-fated adventure. I was not to wait long, for as I read my newspaper the next morning, there it was. This morning, about 2 o'clock, Mr. Bartholomew Malthus of 16 Shepstow Street fell over the parapet in Trafalgar Square, fracturing his skull. Death was instantaneous. He was coming home from a party at a friend's house at the time. Ah, Colonel, have you seen this? That is the result of our game of cards.
Yes, quite a well-known man to have a front page for an obituary. It's odd, though. I almost rejoice to know that he is dead. If there was ever a vicious... But for a young man of the cream of touts, I confess that my heart aches.
Colonel, that unhappy lad last night was as innocent as you or I. And this morning, the guilt of blood. When I think of the president, my heart grows sick within me. I do not know how it can be done. But I shall have that scoundrel at my mercy as there is a God in heaven. What an experience. What a lesson was that game of cards.
One never to be repeated. Your Highness, you cannot mean to return. You've suffered too much and seen too much horror already. The duties of your high position forbid the repetition of the hazard.
There is much in what you say. I am not altogether pleased with my own determination. But, Colonel, I have never felt my weakness more acutely than now. Can I cease to interest myself in the fortunes of the unhappy young man of the Tarts? Can I leave the president to follow his nefarious career unwatched? Can I begin an adventure so entrancing and not follow it to the end? No, Colonel. You ask more than I can yield. Tonight, once more, we take our places at the table of the Suicide Club.
Your Highness, will you take my life? It is yours, yours freely. But do not. Oh, do not ask me to take so terrible a risk.
Colonel Geraldine, your life is absolutely your own. I only looked for obedience. And when that is unwillingly rendered, I shall look for that no longer.
Highness, I ask only one thing. That I may be excused this afternoon. I dare not, as an honorable man, venture a second time into that fatal house until I put my affairs in order.
Very well. Dispose of your day as you think fit. But be here before 11. In disguise. At 11:30, we arrived again at the portals of the Suicide Club. Everyone was there. Everyone but Mr. Malthus. To ensure the constancy of membership, a new member had taken the last victim's place. The president, presiding over the meeting like Satan in pandemonium, came over to welcome us. I congratulated him warmly on his last murder. I like to meet with capacity, Mr. President. And certainly I find much of it in you. Your profession is of a very delicate nature, but I see you are well qualified to conduct it with success and secrecy.
Well, I try to do my best. But poor Malfi, I shall hardly know the club without him.
He seemed a man of the most delicate perception.
Just so. You know, most of my patrons are boys, sir, and poetical boys, who are not much company for me. Not but what Malfi had some poetry, too, but it was of a kind I could understand. And you see that boy coming towards
us? Yes, he's the boy who brought us here.
Yes, he did a fine job last night, but such poetry. Not at all like Malfi. Well, I wish you good luck this evening.
Here is our deliverer. Aren't you going to offer us any cream tarts this evening?
How bitterly I wish that I never brought you to this infamous abode. Leave while you are clean-handed. If you could have heard that old man scream while he fell, and the noise of his bones upon the pavement. Oh, wish if me, if you have any kindness to so falling a being. Wish the ace of spades for me tonight.
Attention, gentlemen. We're ready to begin another excursion. Remember the rules. Turn up and call out your card as soon as you have looked at it. The ace of spades brings deliverance. The ace of clubs delivers.
Three of clubs.
Five of diamonds.
Jack of hearts.
Ten of diamonds. Four of spades.
Queen of spades.
Two of hearts.
Seven of clubs.
The game had begun again. This game that was so simple. The game whose stakes were death. The president smiled. The cards went round once. Neither of the marked cards fell. The young man of the tarts was smiling with his eyes closed. I began hoping that he would get the ace of spades. But what if I should get the ace of clubs? Or if Geraldine should get the ace of spades and I the ace of clubs? Cards went around a second time. Neither of the cards fell. Why should this smiling president be immune? Why doesn't he deal himself in? Cards went round the third time. Neither of the cards fell. The fourth round had begun. There were just enough cards to go around.
Oh, no! I don't want to kill anyone!
The ace of clubs had fallen to the man across the table. There were five cards left. One of them was the ace of spades. Now there were three left. My chances were one in three. One of them was the ace of spades. I was next. My chances were one in three. The president dealt my card. He waited for me to turn it over. The ace of spades. The ace of spades. My second evening and I had drawn the ace of spades. Everyone was gone, except the president and my destined butcher.
I'm pleased you've met you, sir, and pleased to have been in a position to do you this trifling service. At least you cannot complain of delay, eh? On the second evening. What a stroke of luck. Yes, you feel a little sickish. Well, most gentlemen do, you know. Will you take a little brandy? Poor old Malfi. He drank nearly a pint, and it seems to have done him little enough good.
Well, I respond to the treatment more favorably. I am myself again, as you perceive. And so let me ask you, what are my directions?
You will proceed in the direction of the city on the left-hand pavement until you meet our man who drew the ace of clubs, who will unveil death's mysterious form to you. He will continue your instructions and you will have the kindness to obey him. The authority of the club is invested in his person for the night. And now, I wish you a pleasant walk.
I left the club room, passed through the smoking room, put on my coat and hat, and took my umbrella for the last time. The last time. Ah, what is this? Come. Come, I must be a man and leave here. I left the house. I walked in the direction of the city on the left-hand side of the street.
Get him in the carriage, quick!
Careful now!
I have him! Let's go!
Pardon my zeal, Your Highness, in seizing you in the street. It is bad manners, I realize, but...
My dear Geraldine!
If you have any idea of adhering to your oath, please note that Your Highness's person is quite at my disposal. It may be less majesty, but I can assure you, sir, you have been effectively kidnapped. You're going to your rooms at the Albany, not to your death.
You think of everything, Colonel. My life, my conscience. How can I ever thank you? And how did you do it?
You can thank me effectually enough by avoiding all such dangers in the future. As for your second question, all has been arranged by the simplest means. I arranged matters this afternoon with a celebrated detective. The utmost secrecy will be observed. Your own servants have been principally engaged in this affair. The house of the Suicide Club has been surrounded since night.
Now, what of this miserable creature who was to have killed me?
He was captured as he left the house and now awaits you at your home, where he will soon be joined by his accomplices.
Colonel, you have saved me against my explicit orders. You have done well. I owe you not only my life, but a lesson. And I should be unworthy if I did not show myself grateful to my teacher. You shall choose your own reward.
There is but one thing I desire, and that is to deal with the president of the Suicide Club.
The president must fall in a duel. It only remains to choose his adversary.
You have permitted me to name my own reward. Then permit me to duel the president.
You ask an ungracious favor, but I must refuse you nothing. As soon as the president arrives, bring him in to me.
Ah.
Here we are. You don't know how good it is to be home.
The men have arrived, sir.
Show them in. You are the men who would seek refuge in suicide. Cowardly, foolish, and wicked men. Those of you who have been driven into this strait by lack of fortune shall receive employment and compensation from my officers. Those who suffer under a sense of guilt must have recourse to a higher and more generous potentate than I. I feel pity for all of you, deeper than you imagine. Tomorrow you shall tell me your stories. If you answer frankly, I shall be more able to remedy your misfortunes.
You are more than kind to the members of our club.
I shall not extend my kindness to you. I should only offend a person of your character by any offer of assistance. But I have instead a piece of diversion to propose to you. Here is an officer of mine who desires to make a little tour upon the continent. I ask you as a favor to accompany him on this excursion. By the way, Mr. President, do you shoot well with the pistol?
Suicide Club by Robert Louis Stevenson is the concluding program in a series of living fiction, which has been presented each week by Northwestern University in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. The Suicide Club was adapted for radio by Charles Greenblatt. The cast and directors were students of University of Northwestern. Prince Florizel was played by Fred Posner. Colonel Geraldine was played by Dave Press. The President by Tam Spiva. The Tart Man by Walter Schillinger, and Malthus by Neil Weaver. The assistant director was Hayden Bodycombe. The director was Don Amos. The entire production was under the supervision of John Collins. Jim Hamilton speaking. This is NBC in Chicago.